there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning. Good morning.
My body is sunburned. Say what? Sunburn? It's raining here in Ohio. Been raining a couple days. Yeah, it has been, but I'm not in Ohio. You know, it was the Lord's really good, because I've been been going at it pretty good here for the last, I don't know, for a while. And I just looked at Michelle last week, said, you know, let's go down and do some ministry down in Florida. Our daughter and her husband owned a condominium here down in Southwest Florida. And so we were able to get us a pretty cheap little flight. And we flew down here on Saturday morning, and we're going to come rolling home here in the next 24 hours. And it's just been really a great, great time of refreshing. Michelle's worse. That first day, you know, there's something about laying on the beach with the sun and those waves that are, it's hypnotic, man. It's hypnotic. And I haven't, those of you who've emailed me and text messaged me, I haven't been checking in yet. I haven't turned my computer on all weekend till right now. And I just kind of clearing my head. So it's good to be down here. Got on my I Love My Wife shirt. Got that from Rob Pugh. If you guys are interested in having one of those, you have to get a hold of Rob. This really turns heads when you go outside. They ain't used to hearing somebody like that. No, Lord, I'm not going to say that. I promise you I'm not. I almost said something, but I didn't. Caught myself in it. And Alan Zeifer's here. Alan and his wife, Tammy. Alan's a couple hours away from here, but you know, I talked to him earlier, said, you know, I'm coming down that way. Do you live down that way? He said, yeah. I said, man, you come right by my house. What's 2 hours? And I flew over his house. So I didn't come right by his house, but he and Tammy came and joined us last night here. I'm not going to say where we are. Just, you want to know where I am, just ask the FBI, okay? Call Obama. He'll tell you where I am. But I'm not going to tell the rest of you, okay? But it's 2 hours from wherever Alan lives. Now, you can figure out where Alan lives. And go whatever direction you want to. Good luck finding us. But we're here. We've been hitting good, and it's been really good. So, Alan, say hi to everybody over there. I'll point at him over there. So, you know, they know they ain't lying.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
And Lindell will be happy because he's not sitting in front of his Israel flag. So, Lindell, you can relax this morning. Alan didn't bring his flag with him here this morning. So, and, you know, he and I don't agree on everything, but we're still brothers. We don't fight about it. We don't argue with each other. So, excuse me. Let me jump in here real quick. Boy, everybody's starting to wake up now. Michelle was asleep. Tammy was still asleep. And I'm starting to yell them. We're getting them all up here. Let's go to stuff. Hey, Chad, how'd things go down there in Texas? Is Chad in here with us today? He certainly came in here to tell us how things went. Is he? Let me slip over here. See if he's over here. Let me see. Well, he's not saying anything. Vic, is he there? He's not there. Well, we'll find out tomorrow how things went at Chad's place this weekend. I'm sure it went good. Chad's probably sleeping in. He certainly deserves to do that. So thinking about you, Chad, we mentioned him. He had a meeting in his house. And then, Jared, I sent you a picture. Alan, pull that picture up that I took last night. I sent it to you. See if you can't pull that up. Shoot that thing up on the screen. There we are. Now, Alan's not that much bigger than me. I don't know what's going on. We got matching bellies. There we go. He's got the Jesus hat on him. I'm standing out on the beach at some unknown place. I'm sorry if you're envious, but we needed it. With Michelle and I, we needed to get away. Listen, Bobby Lee, I love to brag on guys that are in the huddle. Bobby Lee, man, he's all after it, man. Jared, I get the video. That pull that up there. Bobby Lee has got we told you last week, Bobby's got a huddle coming up in May 11th in Louisville, Kentucky, last remaining abortion clinic in the state of Kentucky. Should have already closed that sucker down, but we haven't closed it down yet. We'd hoped to have a huge crowd there. We don't know how many are going to come. As I said, it's going to be me and Bobby and Michelle and Dorita and OJ and maybe some others will come on down there. We're going to do a Friday night gathering, get together, huddle type thing. Saturday morning, we're going to go back to the abortion clinic where on May 11th, 2 years ago, 11 Christians were arrested for supposedly blocking the door at the abortion clinic. It's Mother's Day Massacre is what we called it. And so Bobby's got another one, as I said, coming up this 2 weeks. And Bobby made a quick little video. So let's pull it up here. You got to love Bobby. You got to love Bobby Lee. Pull that up and play his video real quick, Jared.
So now we're days away from the huddle and the boots on the ground at the Louisville, Kentucky Abortion Slaughterhouse. May 10th is our huddle in LaGrange, Kentucky at a hotel from 3 to 7. Like-minded people coming together to talk about what we're going to be doing the following morning. Talk about reality, talk about things, changing information. May 11th, Saturday morning, boots on the ground, 6:30 a.m. at the Abortion Slaughterhouse in Louisville, Kentucky. We're going to be there. 2 years ago, 12 Christians were arrested. 11 or 12 Christians were arrested. And we can't let that go unchecked and forgotten. We need to return. That is the last abortion slaughterhouse in Kentucky. We're winning on many fronts. Abortion is on the ropes. It's about to be illegal in certain places. Kentucky's one of them. All we need to do is come out on the streets in numbers, wake up your friends and family members from the cowardice Christian church. Sunday morning church concerts aren't working. Hiding behind Christian church walls aren't working. There are multiple churches on every corner and every countryside, and the left is run amok. Killing babies is run amok. Crushing baby skulls, killing babies outside the womb, transgenders reading to your kids. The homosexual agenda is having its way. Christians are getting beat up across the nation. Abortion protesters are getting beat up across the nation. Cowardice Christianity hiding behind church walls does not work. Come out and join us. Come to the huddle. You can get information at CoachDaveLive.com. There's information available on Facebook pages, Pennsylvania Salt and Light Brigade Facebook pages. And again, CoachDaveLive.com. Go there, get your information, call the hotel, attend the huddle, make your face known Saturday morning, May 11th. Every day is a training day. What have you done to train yourself today to stop hiding behind cowardice, Christian church walls, doing nothing, listening to Sunday morning church concerts?
Amen, Bobby. I love Bobby Lee. Rubbing off on old Bobby. So we'd love for you people to be able to come and join us if there's any way that you're able to do it. And, listen, we're swimming so upstream. We really are. We really are. But we're going to win this thing. And I'm telling you, we're finding more and more. The unrest that we're finding in Christians, everywhere we go, they know something's wrong. Can't figure out what it is. Hey, I got to do an advertisement. It's not my advertisement. And I know this shows up backwards on my phone. This is a book. You know how it looks good? Thanks, Jared. You know how sometimes you get a book and you say, I get a lot of books. People send me a lot of books. And I'm just telling you. Okay, folks, hear me. This book right here, Michael Heiser. Michael Heiser's written The Unseen Realm, which is a really, really good book, too. And I read The Unseen Realm, but this one blew me away. I'm halfway through it. The title, there it is up on the screen. Good job, Jared. Supernatural by Michael Heiser. I'm telling you, man. Guys, did it ever happen to you that you come, or Alan and I were just talking about this one. Did it ever happen to you that you come across information that you'd never seen any place but you knew it? You know what I'm saying about? You had this feeling in your heart. You knew something, and you just couldn't prove it. You didn't even know if it was in the Bible. Bang. I started reading this. And you know what I wanted to, you know, listen, I don't have a love affair with Mark Trump, okay? But I started reading this thing. I thought, oh, my goodness, I have got to get this in the hands of Trump. It's a very easy read. It's like, you know what men do when they go to bookstores? Here's what they do. They open it up and see how many words on the page. And if it's real thin, they put them down. Men don't like to read. They don't really like to read. This is a very, very easy read. explaining the supernatural. Oh my goodness. So the plane ride was worth that for me. I kept elbowing my wife. I said, oh my goodness. You know what I felt bad about? I didn't have an underliner, a highlighter. There was that much good stuff in it. So I'll throw that one out there for you. It's Supernatural by Dr. Michael Heiser. It's really, really good. Okay, let me get back here, see where I am. Good, Jared. I always like to show these guys just because it encourages us. It encourages Right Wing Watch and all those pagan idiots out there that, hey, Alan, doesn't the Bible say that the fool said in his heart there is no God? So if somebody says they're in their God, y'all know right away they're a fool. What the heck are you doing even listening to them? Why would you give them any credence at all? So I'm just excited today because I get all these notices. Jared pulled up in my says the very first one, Jared, Pathos. Throw that thing up on the screen for everybody. They just lie. They just lie, folks. They just lie. Look what this coach, God told Coach Dave to get Hillary Clinton arrested. Now, if you go back and watch that show, then what I said. I never ever said that, right? But see, they have no understanding of the supernatural. And you know, okay, Lord, I'm going to go to that real quick. Very few people do, actually. Very few churchgoers have any understanding at all of the supernatural. And, you know, Michelle and I spent the last couple of days, I'll be honest, laying out on the beach. Whew. I got so sunburnt, I took an umbrella with me. I'd never used an umbrella on the beach. Did yesterday, I was so burnt. But, you know, I was sitting there and I was looking around, and the area that we're in is kind of the area of this, somebody's, Larry, is that you coughing in the microphone? I don't know if you know you're on or not. It's a retirement area. Most of where we are, they're old retired people. And I look around, my wife would say, do I look that old? Honey, you don't look that old. Do I look that old? I mean, it's kind of a wealthy area. And I saw, you know what, one of the most heartbreaking things. Michelle and I were on the beach and we're FaceTiming on our phone, our grandkids. I miss my grandkids, so I love my grandkids. We see them every day, right? And I'm looking at all these people down here who I don't know what their life's like. But they're living meaningless lives, folks. There's so many people who get to be my, I'm 66, get to be my age and their life is meaningless. It's about self-gratification. They come down here in great big campers and they live down here all winter. And I can see why you would. The weather's beautiful, but what about your opportunity to influence your children and your grandchildren? Why are you fleeing from those who love? Why are we fleeing from those who need us? I don't care how old you get. Your children and your grandchildren need grandma and grandpas. And I look at so much empty life, so many people living empty lives, so little people have such a poor understanding. To sit out there on that beach and watch that sunset, that sun dips, it just, boom, it just disappears. How can you look at that and not have a spiritual understanding about God and creation? How can that possibly happen? And even better yet, if you look at that sunset and that sun goes down and the sun disappears and you believe there's a God, how can you live your life so shallow of this creator of the universe who made himself so personal to each and every one of us? And how's it happened? It's happened again because of a different gospel that's being preached in America than it is in anywhere else. If I had to come down here and hang around these rich people and just talk about my stock portfolio, which I don't have one, what an empty, empty, empty life that is.
Amen, brother. Amen.
And I'm thinking about how many people I know who don't have grandchildren. And I hurt for them and I feel bad for them to think that it's 10 years, 12 years, 14 years, you're going to dip off into eternity and you haven't left anything of significance left other than your money, your stock portfolio, and how many apartments you own. I'm over here in conversations as we're out and about. And I thought, Lord, we have become so materialistic. Whatever you do, however you slap us down, you deserve it. We deserve it, Lord.
Hey, Coach. Remember I mentioned before how they separate the young from the old? That's exactly what we need to do. See, in these stupid movies, all they do is they set up narratives. And one of the narratives is put the old people in homes or let them go to these retirement areas. and have to separate from young people so you don't pass on the knowledge. Right. On the knowledge is how our civilizations prospered and passed.
Well, I know this, Vinny.
Yeah.
My life would be very, very empty without my grandbabies. Be very, very
empty. Amen.
And I can't imagine. I can't imagine taking a winter and going to Florida and leaving my little. Are you what? That's like going to prison. Oh, we live our lives for ourselves. God help us. It's all so fleeting. It is, really is. Got a couple things I want to show you here. Then I want to take you someplace today. Hey, Bobby, look at that. Bobby, I'm looking at Bobby. Jared, pull up the next one. It says profession of faith. I don't know how to say this. If I had it to do over again, I'm not sure I'd send my kids to college. I'm not sure I would. There's so many things that you can do to earn a living without going to college and all that money and all that debt. But this came across my radar screen here this morning. Pardon me if I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at my own screen over here because I can't really see. I'm working off my phone right here. Sorry. Secular universities now demand a profession of faith. This caught my eye. I thought, wow, really? A profession of faith now, that secular university? I thought, man, maybe there's a revival coming. And then you know what happened? Then I started to read it. Look at this. Many religious universities have historically used statements of faith to uphold their religious mission. But while such policies are on the wane, a different sort of religious statement is increasingly common at secular colleges, namely, statement of diversity. I've been telling you, humanism is a faith. Professors and other faculty members are asked to pledge their commitment to equity and inclusion to demonstrate how they have acted to fulfill this pledge in the past. And much as with the religious version, the goal of these policies is to ensure uniformity of belief. Consider UCLA. To be considered for tenure track positions, applicants are required to write a full statement outlining their commitment to the religion of diversity. According to UCLA guidelines, the extent to which a professor promotes equity, diversity, and inclusion is a key factor in making progress on the tenure track. Promoting these ideals is inseparable from how the University of California conceives of merit, the school says. UC Riverside, UC San Diego, and UC Berkeley all require similar diversity statements. You understand what they're getting in schools, right? You understand if you send your kid to any university in America, the odds of him being under any Christian influence of all is basically zero. It's basically zero. And you know, Alan and I were having a conversation last night about some of you listening right now. You know, 70%, at least 70% of Christian kids lose their faith when they go to college. 70%. And we're still chasing the American dream. You know what Alan Zeifer does? You know what Alan Zeifer does for a living? You're not going to believe it. You know, Alan, I'm going to give you a minute. Think about it. I want you to think about this, folks. Those of you sending your kids to college and, you know, the $100,000 in debt and all that stuff. Real quickly, Alan, tell them what you do, how you make earn your living.
Sell homemade pretzels. Soft pretzel.
What? How do you do that?
I travel around all over the country, me and my wife, and we've got a tent we put up, and we make homemade soft pretzels. That's what we do for a living.
Hmm. These great big soft pretzels. He goes to carnivals. He's a carny. He goes to carnivals. He goes to fairs. He sets up at fairs. He's coming to Ohio. He's going to be up there when we do All Hands on Deck, by the way. And they sell these huge pretzels, $6 for a pretzel. And he makes a living doing that. You need a degree to do that, Alan? Is there a pretzel degree, some university you go get?
Coach, if I would have known about this type of work when I got out of high school, I'd have never went to college one second.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, yeah, go ahead. Paul, then Jared. Go, Paul.
Hey, glad to know that you're getting some rest and relaxation. That's good to hear.
I need a big one. Alan didn't bring any.
Hey, two things about colleges. number one, they should put a little label on the front of them saying 90% of you that go to this school are going to die dead broke. And another thing they should have, too, is remember the United Negro College Fund says a mind is a terrible thing to waste?
Right.
Well, it should change and say your faith is a terrible thing to waste if you come to this college.
Amen. That's what that's brother. That's what it is. And parents, see, we've bought it again. We're always talking about breaking paradigms here, right? Or patterns. That's a pattern. What's the pattern? Well, you go up, you go through high school, then you go to college. And no matter how much you tell some people high schools aren't any good, and you tell them colleges aren't any good, they don't get it. They don't want to believe it. But it is. It's the destruction of the Christian faith that's happening in universities, where diversity is now more important than Christianity. In fact, if you're a Christian, you're probably not going to get a job. Jared, come on. Jared, come on in.
Well, yeah, Coach. I mean, the one thing that made me, the reason that I dropped out of college was I looked and I said, you know, homeless people survive, so why can't I? Mm. I'm not stupid. I could figure this out. Homeless people do it. You know, it's not that, it's just fear. It's kind of back to, we're just afraid of taking the responsibility and ownership of our own finances, our own money, our own job. Just do it. Try it, you know? There's so many opportunities. I invite people over to my office, and I've done this with a kid, and I said, listen, I have all of these things that I want you to use. Just come up with an idea. All of these digital things, live streaming, whatever, website, come up with an idea, and I will help you achieve that idea. And they can't do it. They just can't come up. They can't have that. It's like, look, I will help you, but I will not come up with your idea, but I will help you make it happen. And they just can't do it.
You know, Jared, Kevin just put into the chat here. He's a high school dropout with a GED, and he's a real estate broker. Folks, we got to break. Listen, I'm speaking from experience. Speaking from experience. I just assumed that your kids had to go to college. That's what you do. And I didn't realize till it was too late that colleges are faith destroyers. That's the whole purpose of college, to destroy your faith. Even Christian colleges, Alan said. Even Christian colleges. Christian colleges are secular. They put Christian on the name of it, but they're secular. The left has infiltrated every area of academia, every area of it. And diversity and tolerance and all that kind of stuff that's going on, it's nothing more than the destruction of Christianity. Because what did Paul say? Didn't Paul just say just the opposite, Alan? Didn't Paul just say that there's no divisions anymore? There's no Jew, there's no Greek. Isn't that what he said? And then we go, see, that. Yeah, we're not to be ignorant of his devices. And you go to university, and what do they teach you at the university? All the divisions, right? Men, women, black, white, young, old, tall, short, fat, skinny, all divisions. The Lord says, stop doing that, come together, and we send them to college, and they say, no, we got to divide you again. I can never understand that. Raj?
Well, I was going to add to that. I probably have a little more of a pro-college position. I mean, if you want to be a chemist, you probably need some formal education. But they also pay no attention to the bottom 25%. That's where I was. I was an average student my whole life. I was able to make a living and provide for my family. But if you're not in that top 5 or 10%, even at college, they don't pay any attention to you.
No.
Hey, Coach.
Yep, it's about weeding them out. Yes, sir.
Well, most of your successful entrepreneurs and things like that, they didn't complete college.
No,
they left.
Because it's programming, you know? Right? It's programming. You have to think a certain way. You have to act a certain way. And again, we get stuck in those paradigms. I'm going to show you something here. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Because it happens in the church as well, see? Bobby Lee. What do you call it? What do you call those churches? Cowardly Christian churches? The CCC, cowardly Christian churches, how did that become popular? Who came up with the pattern of how we do church? Where did that come from? Well, who came up with the idea of seeker-sensitive? Who came up with friendship evangelism? And then it begins to spread and spread. And what the more that they come up with that kind of stuff, the more shallow Christianity becomes. We're living, folks, we're living a shallow faith. And I don't want to be. I don't want to live a shallow faith. I want to live. Why would you want to believe in something and just sort of believe in it? You know, just sort of believe in it. I mean, I'm a Buckeyes fan. And you find a Buckeyes fan, they're really Buckeyes fan. I'm just halfway Buckeyes fans. They're all the way in. They paint their faces. They go tailgate all day before the game. They get drunk all night. They're all in with the Buckeyes. Christians just living a marginal Christian life. See, we've been programmed to do that. I'm going to show you something. You bear with me a second. We've been programmed to live like this. In so many areas of our life, just not the university and just not church, but just in general, we've been programmed to live the way that we live. Oh, there's my girlfriend. Hi, sweetheart. She's coming down for the night. So where do I start on this one? Where do we start here? Let me start. I'm looking at what I have here. Oh, I got to throw this out here real quick. Jared, click on birth certificate. I just got to throw this in there because, folks, if you would go back to the archives, Coach Dave Live Archives, I've said a number of times, I wrote on it a number of times, I posted on Facebook about it a number of times. Boys and girls, it's all going to come down to a birth certificate. Now, this was posted today at, what's the name of this website? Yeah, the Post and Mail, I think it is. The Post and Email. Now, Jared, folks, look on your screen right now. Exclusive. Executive Office of the President. Somebody in the Executive Office of the President downloaded an article about the birth certificate. Hey, Alan, how many people you suppose are in the Executive Office of the President? Suppose there's 1,000 people there? Nah, I ain't thinking that many. No, I don't think so. So it appears to me that somebody in the Executive Office of the President is doing some research on a birth certificate. Because I'm going to say this for the guys who just right wing watching all those guys out there. If we had open records, can somebody tell me why that, as Pastor David Manning always said, that Muslim freak, where he came from? Folks, all of this deep state stuff's going to be rolled out. And at the end of the, you mark my word, at the end of this is going to be a birth certificate, a fraudulent birth certificate. Take that, right wing watch. Kyle, go ahead and write about that one. I'm not ashamed of that one. It's coming out more and more and more and more and more. It's going to be at the end of this whole thing. Okay. Anybody want to say anything about that? Go ahead.
Yeah. His brother admitted that his birth certificate was fake. I have a copy of the real one that his brother put up on the internet, you know?
Right.
And listen,
right.
Let me tell you this true. This is real easy. This true confession. You've known me for a couple of years, right?
Yep.
Never told you about my high school. Well, I attended one of the specialized high schools in New York City. All right. I was saying that for 4 years, but I have a GED. You know why? Because it's all about the actual purpose and not just the frills. I could care less about that. It's about real purpose. So thank you. I just want to say that out loud.
All right, Ben.
Nonsense.
Okay. So at the end of the day, it's going to come down to a birth certificate. Okay. Okay. Here's where we go. Jared, pull up this video. It says Matt Wiersma at church. Folks, this is something. Those of us who do street ministry, Alan does street ministry, Michelle and I do it, Tammy does it, George does it. It's got a lot of people in here doing street ministry. Rob Pugh's written a wonderful article, I may get to that here in a second, about church ministry. But I got to show you something. Okay, I'm going to tell you this. Here's some good tips. When you go to the streets, I can guarantee you one thing. The policemen do not know the law, okay? They don't know the law. They'll try to buffalo you, but they do not know the law. And if you educate yourself and you stay on the offensive, you're going to win just about every debate with the police officers. And then what I like to do is I like to say to them this, hey, you want to get sued? You want your name in all of history of the legal books for the $1 million lawsuit you're about to lose to me? Then they back down. They start to get hostile because they don't know the law. They're trying to buffalo you, right? So I want to show you, this is about 10 minutes. We're not going to watch all 10 minutes of it. But I, Matt, I don't know Matt. He puts Facebook videos up all the time of his street ministry, okay? So I'm going to do this in two segments. I'm going to want you, I want you to watch this video of Matt being confronted by a rent-a-cop and how he handles it. And then you're not going to believe what happens. The pastor of this mega church comes out. And then you want to know why faith is so shallow. You sit right here and we'll show you, okay? Okay, Jared, pull that up there. And let's start and let's play about, let's just play a couple minutes of this so people get the feel. And then we'll move a little bit farther ahead. This is Matt Wiersma. And I can't remember for sure exactly where Matt plays, where he lives. But another good one is if Jeff's in here with us, man, always videotape. Always videotape. Okay, so here, there, this is the rent-a-cop. It's at the church. So Matt shows up at the church to preach to the church. It's, you can see them. It says worship center. You see all of it. Looks like a nice day. People getting out of their cars. And Matt's holding up an abortion sign, and he's got a megaphone, and he's preaching. And I want you to listen to this idiot rent-a-cop. Go ahead, Jared.
To pack it up and go. No, I'm not. And if I am, there's a public easement that runs along public roads.
It's actually soft on the sidewalk.
No, actually, the sidewalk is for the public to use to travel along public roads, so that they don't run or walk in the road.
Pastor asked you to leave.
I'm not on church property.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. If I am on church property, again, I have a right to be on a public easement.
The people that you're actually bothering, so I can write you a ticket for disorderly conduct.
Or you
want a ticket?
No, don't be a tyrant. Don't be a bully. I can show you the property lines on the website.
They asked you to leave. You're bothering people. That's disorderly conduct.
I have the right to free speech, and so you can't just trample on my right to free speech.
Did you hear what he said? That you're bothering people, so you have to leave. If not, that's disorderly conduct. That's what this rent-a-cop just said to him. You're bothering people. That's disorderly conduct.
I told him to leave because he's bothering me.
Yeah, this guy's keep going. Hey, Dale, you sit down because you ain't gonna believe what's coming on this thing. Go ahead.
Oh, come on, Coach. I've probably been there, done that, and got the cuffs to prove it.
Yeah, okay, here we go. This idiot. Go ahead.
I won't use the megaphone. I can use my free speech. There's such a thing called street preaching in the United States of America, and I can do that.
They asked you to leave. You need to leave.
I'm not in a place where they can tell me to leave. They cannot tell me to leave. No, I'm on a public easement,
as
sir.
As you start bothering people,
nope.
Your freedom of speech goes out the window.
Nope. No, that's ridiculous.
Yes, it does.
Are you? That's the whole point of free speech. That's the whole point of free speech, so that you have the right to say things that are offensive to other people. So that you can voice your opinion. If every time somebody got offended, your free speech got shut down, you couldn't have free speech.
Start bothering people. That's against the law. You need to leave.
No, it's not. It's not against the law to bother people.
Yes, it is. Disorderly conduct. I told you that. Disorderly conduct.
Nope.
You're sitting here preaching about Christianity and you're bothering people and you want.
They should be bothered. A lot of them are probably ignoring genocide.
You're sitting on your phone yelling at them.
I think it is good. It's good to harshly rebuke religious hypocrites. Yeah. You know, like Jesus Christ did?
It's not. You're screwing with my kids. You start screwing with my kids, it's over. You understand me?
What does that mean? Are you threatening me?
You're screwing with my kids. I am not threatening you. You quit doing this crap. You're scaring my freaking kids.
Well, why don't you tell them that babies are being murdered and they need help? Why don't you tell them that? Why don't you care about the babies who are being murdered? What is my problem? My problem is people ignore genocide.
Do you know what we preach here? Have you ever listened to anything that our pastor has to say?
Why would that matter? It doesn't matter how many things, what he says inside this building.
But you're out here trying to protest against us.
I know that a lot of people mentally assent to certain truths and they say they agree with me, but they're likely not taking the correct action to abolish abortion. That's why I have to be here, because there's a lot of pro-life people who are not trying to abolish abortion. I can do it there, I can do it here, I can do it wherever. Because people here don't go to the murder facilities. People here don't go out to the streets.
Okay, now folks, remember this. This is so illustrative, but it's a big word, isn't it? These two guys standing here, maybe not the cop. These two guys go to this church. These are Christians, right? These two guys are Christians that he's talking to here. The rent-a-cop, I don't know if he is or not. Hey, hang on.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
These are the modern day Three Stooges.
Here we go. Keep going.
supposed to.
Right. You're not there.
There's not a killing facility murdering children right now in this town, to my knowledge.
You're gonna piss me off. Do you understand me?
What are you gonna do? Did I threaten you?
Did you hear me threaten you?
What are you doing right now?
Stop.
I can do what I want. I have free speech, sir.
I'm doing the same thing you are.
Okay.
Stop.
You can tell me to stop, and I can continue to preach if I want.
We're gonna wait until everybody goes, and you're done. You're not doing your microphone. You ain't doing nothing.
If you need to leave, you can give me your ID, and you're getting a ticket for disorderly conduct. And I'll see you in court.
I don't have to give you my ID.
You sure do. Right now, you're detained. You're causing a problem. You're causing all these people a problem. You're getting in an argument with them. You're detained. And I'll see you in court about it. Texas Penal Code.
Can I show you the property lines?
I don't really care.
Okay, Jared, stop it.
So you don't care?
This just goes back and forth. This rent-a-cop says it doesn't matter. You're disturbing the peace. I'm going to write you a ticket, and you don't have the right to be here. And you had all this stuff. Buffalo. I'll see you in court. Be happy to see you in court. If that cop sees that guy in court, if he would arrest Matt, somebody's going to win a bunch of money, right? Matt warns him that. I want to move ahead, Jared. Move ahead to the five-minute mark because this is unbelievable. Look there. Stop that. Freeze that right there, Jared. There comes the pastor. So certainly we're going to get some great biblical truth from the pastor here. Okay. Now I want you to note something because I'm going to take you here. During this conversation, the pastor says, can you give me the verse before it? Can you read the verse before it? So I'm going to give you the verse before it. Okay. Because this, anyway, here we are. You want to know why we're in the mess we're in? Here he is, the pastor of this mega church, coming out to speak to his Christian brother, right? Look at these guys. This reminds you of Bundy Ranch. That's what I thought when I looked at it. So, are you sitting down? Hey, Dale, are you sitting down? Pastor Mike Spalding, are you sitting down?
Oh, I'm watching this.
Are you ready? This is why we are in the mess we are in, okay? Here he comes, the pastor.
Hi.
Yep. Hi, I'm Doug.
Hello, I'm Matt.
I'm the pastor here.
Okay.
What's going on?
Can you tell him to not trample on my rights?
He's a legal guy. I can't do that. I'm going to steal this.
You could say, hey, we're fine with this guy being here. We don't have a problem.
I'm just talking to you. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, because he's trying to trample on my rights.
They said you're on a bullhorn. I'm just wondering what's going on.
There's IVF facilities in this area that are dehumanizing and likely destroying children, uh-huh. And Christians need to be acting against that, being a voice for them, trying to...
Have you ever stepped inside our church?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Before you come here and cast aspersions on the people of this church, Benitez, before you cast aspersions on me, you should sit in this church and you should listen to me preach against abortion. I just preached against homosexual marriage.
Well, that's
and
good.
And so you need to come listen before you sit in.
But the problem is it needs to be outside the church. I don't care about what goes on inside the church. I'm talking about what goes on outside on the streets. And I think that's pretty neglected, you know?
I hear what you're saying, but if it doesn't come out of the church on the inside, it's never going to go to the church on the outside. So there's a starting point. So I'm doing my part, and the church is doing the part. You don't know what we do pro-life. You don't know the people we have
down
at the council.
But I can give a general call to repentance, right? Not everybody, it's likely that not everybody here is acting perfectly consistently, right? So I can give a general call to everybody, and if people aren't acting correctly, then they can take that to heart, right?
Yeah, and I could give a call to you to act with consistency.
Folks, remember, this is the pastor. You about ready for what's going to come out of his mouth? Here we go.
Seeing love, which you're not doing right now.
Why? Why is that
because
not love?
The attitude you're communicating towards this officer of the law right here, which is disrespectful.
Well, I don't respect tyrants and people who abuse their authority and trample on the rights of others.
Well, Romans 13, as I'm sure you're fully aware of, says we're supposed to submit to the governing authorities because God has put them in place.
Well, actually, it says governments are not a terror to bad behavior, but to good. So the context of that verse is talking about somebody who's actually carrying out God's law and punishing bad behavior and as they're supposed to do.
No,
but right now he's
it's
punishing good behavior.
Law.
So he's not acting according to God's law.
Okay,
he's
well,
not doing what
I'm
God wants him to
because
do.
Because you're out of control. You're a little emotional about this whole thing and you're not thinking this through logically.
No, I think I am.
So, well, I don't
Can you explain to me using logic how I'm not using logic to think about
because
this?
Because your voice is going up, it's an indication of emotion. Your speech is increasing.
Sure, it doesn't mean I'm not logical.
You're making accusations against my friend, and I don't appreciate that. So
well, I can
just say to
there's
you.
There's nothing wrong with me pointing out his sin.
And what you're doing is, I'll point out your sin. You're judging us. How about that?
Well, the Bible says the spiritual person judges all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15.
Okay, quote 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 15 to me. What is this? I don't. You're giving me a paraphrase.
The spiritual person judges all things. That is in that verse. That sentence is in that verse. Pull it up. You don't even know the verse?
I know the verse. The verse right before it says all kinds of things about judgment, discernment about the spiritual person.
We need to judge all things according to Scripture, right? We should say, this is right, that's wrong, according to God's standard.
According to Scripture, when you don't even know what we believe. You're being foolish.
I can give a general call to repentance to those who may not be living.
You're making a generalization with a specific application, which is illogical, inconsistent, and irrational.
I think there are people who need help who are probably being destroyed through IVF facilities in this area, and I can say, hey, let's help these kids out, right? There's nothing wrong with me doing that. It's nothing wrong with me preaching against hypocrisy that is likely in a place where people come to sing songs to God.
Sure, there's hypocrites in here. I'm probably one of them.
Okay,
and I would imagine you're one of them too.
Sure, we're all hypocrites to a certain extent.
What church did you go to this morning? Were you at church at early service?
Well, I'm at church right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Even though the Bible says to gather with the body of believers,
I am gathering with believers right now.
We're not worshiping right now. We're kind of having sort of an argument because you're being confrontational. So at this point, I'm done because you're not going to listen.
You should explain to me using logic why I'm being illogical.
I've done it three times already, and I'll give it a fourth time. You're making a general application to a specific situation of which you know nothing.
Well, I can give a general call to repentance to people who are not thinking correctly, right?
Give Christians a bad name in our community and our culture. So right now I'm done. Guys, you can stay if you want.
You've given Christians a bad name.
That's James.
So is it like a fine?
You can stop there, Ted.
You stop there. Okay, so he's more worried. We know what he's worried about, right? He's worried about people not going to come to the church because the guy's outside holding the sign, right? And he's giving Christians a bad name. And he quoted from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. And he said, what's the verse before? If you read the verse before it, you'll see that it talks about a lot about spiritual people. So we're going to go there. Go ahead, Rod.
A pastor should do everything he can to promote and protect the First Amendment. They should be at ground zero protecting free speech.
Mm-hmm. But they're not, are they?
No. Don't they understand? This is, you get rid of free speech, the church pulpit is next.
He didn't get it.
They don't even get it.
Was that 1 Corinthians, Alan?
Hey, Coach.
Chapter 2, verse 15. Scroll down there, Jared. Let's see. Go ahead, Paul. I'm just making sure.
Saying it's all about him. You know, y'all play Toby Keith's song. It's all about me.
that's good. I'm talking about you. Talk about me. How's that song go? Yeah. Okay. So this guy comes out. First of all, he misquoted Romans 13, right? Supposed to obey the authorities. That's how Hitler got us, right? Then he talks, says, you're not supposed to judge. This is a pastor standing in the pulpit, says Christians are not supposed to judge, right? This is unbelievable. So Jared, he said, when he quoted 1 Corinthians 2:15, it says right here, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. That's what Matt quoted, right? And the pastor says, oh, no, you got to read what's before it. Because it talks about spiritual man. Brother. Okay, so Jared, let's go up. Let's go back to about 10. And let's see if the pastor knows his Bible. let's start right there. Start at verse 8. Let's start at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Christ Jesus and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. That dude had a lot of wisdom, didn't he, Al? He was a psychologist. He wasn't a preacher. But in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Princes of this world, supernatural, Michael Pfizer. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for if they had known it, If they'd had any idea what a mess they were going to make by crucifying the Lord, they'd have never done it. But it is written that eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of men the things which God hath prepared for those that love him. It's a powerful verse, isn't it? Powerful scripture. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Anybody think that pastor was searching deep things? Huh? Was he searching some deep things, that pastor? No, he wasn't? Okay.
Yeah, he's searching deep. He's searching deep into your pocket. That's all he cares about is money, that stupid son of a...
So here we go. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we've received not the spirit of the world. Alan, that's me and you. I'm not that spirit of the world anymore, folks. You have the spirit of the world? I'm going to tell you this. I think that pastor did. I think that pastor had the spirit of the world. Now, we've received not the... Oh, wait a minute. Does that mean there are other spirits? Now, we've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, like being able to stand on property and have free speech, those kind of things. You'd think you would know that if you were a deep thinker, right? Which things we also, verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the unregenerate, non-born-again man, like that pastor, he doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For their foolishness unto him. Neither can he. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. And he that's spiritual judges all things. Like the people sitting in that church that are as Bobby Lee said earlier, coward Christians, cowardly Christian church. Spiritual man judges all things. He sees that. Yet he himself is judged of no man except for the pastor who's not saved and comes out and confronts him. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? Nobody does. We have the mind of Christ. So you look at that debate that went on through those two guys. Which one of those two, the pastor of this megachurch, or just Matt standing out there by himself showing the courage that he had, which one had the mind of Christ? Somebody come on in here. It's amazing. It's amazing. That's why we're so calloused against what we're doing. Doors open, walk in.
Coach, this is Joseph. If that individual had a megaphone and he was during the week, he's destructing other businesses. But if he's on a Sunday with the megaphone, there's no business operating. He has every right to use what he's using.
He has every right to use it anyway, unless they come out with a sound door, right? He can stand on there.
Yeah. And do it. Well, at our abortion clinic that we go to, we can't use it during the week. But on Saturdays, we can use it. Because there's no outside businesses that is being interrupted by what he's preaching.
Yeah, but you understand that's baloney too, right?
Free speech. Yes.
Free speech is not conditional and not time sensitive. So you can preach during the day if you want to as well, right? Unless they have a sound.
Yeah.
But if they have hang on a second. If they have a sound ordinance, then they need to arrest every loud car with loud mufflers that drive by.
Right.
They need to arrest every driver that's going by with his boom, 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 as they're sitting at the traffic light. Need to arrest all them.
That's right. There is a sound ordinance. But also, if he's a rental cop, he can't do nothing but talk to on-duty officers. An on-duty officer can write him a ticket or citation.
Yeah, well, we make it very easy. We just tell them this. Get your commander here. Would you like to speak to your commander?
That's right.
That always shuts them up. Get your commander here. Somebody else, come on in. Thanks, Jeff. Somebody else.
You're absolutely right, Coach. Most of those police officers have never read the Constitution, that which they have supposedly sworn to uphold. But back to the pastor, I'm wondering how you know, I could just see this playing out. Matthew chapter 21. Here comes Jesus. He's returning. He's coming down the hill. Look, everybody, there he is. And all of a sudden, wow, he comes in that church and he starts getting emotional and flipping the tables and driving people out with a whip. I wonder if that pastor would walk up and say, I think you're getting a little emotional, Jesus.
That's right. That's right. Like that, like being emotional is against law. That guy was a psychologist, Dale. That guy wasn't a pastor.
Yep. He was a moronic speaker.
Yeah. Well, more of those than we know.
Well, they always use, oh, you're getting worked up or you're getting a little loud, as they quietly behind the scenes do the same manipulation that we know is going on. They always, well, you're worked up or calm down, as if that is a sin. If it's a sin to get a little angry, to get a little upset. Amen. But I've known these types behind the scenes, Dave. They're just as cunning and secretive as anybody.
They are, brother. We all are. We're all. It's the nature of man. Somebody, come on in. We got about 9 minutes left here.
Makes me sick.
Makes me sick.
I wonder how he was able to preach that Sunday morning. I promise that pastor was getting stirred up. You could see it towards the end. He was getting emotional, a lot of hand and body language. His voice was getting rapid. I guarantee you, he got knocked off his cue that morning getting up on that pulpit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, with Dale, about this 8 or 9 years ago, when Operation Save America came to Columbus, to Ohio, we went to a mega church like this and we held signs. And some people went inside to listen to the sermon, and it was exactly what you said. Pastor got in there, talked about us out there flopping, tadpoles flopping around out in the mud puddle, thinking we were whales and all. Just so disparaging, right? Again, you're not allowed to challenge in any way, shape, or form church authority. Not allowed to challenge. Yep.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Paul.
You might play that tape again. As the pastor was leaving, did you hear some squeaking? As if a mouse.
We'll have to enhance it to see if we can hear that. But no, I don't think so.
Hey, the voice of that guy sounds familiar. I think he came to Tulsa one day and he had a megaphone, and he started doing the megaphone. They charged him with disorderly conduct.
Yeah,
it was a fine, and I think George got some money together to pay the fine. So,
well, that's what Randy got. What disorderly conduct, and that what they gave? No, they challenged. They were going to charge.
Yeah, they charged Randy with spitting on the sidewalk. Gave him a $75 fine.
That's right.
Well, Coach, down here in New Orleans with Ruben Israel. This is New Orleans in the French Quarter. The city ordinance came out and said that there was, listen to this, no street preaching after 9 o'clock in the French Quarter, and we were like, oh my goodness, look, we. Well, Ruben, them, I knew him at, you know, going through all this. Man, we slam dunked them and sued the city, won the case against them. Could you imagine in the French Quarter, you can't have megaphones after 9 o'clock. It's disturbance of the peace.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? You know, do you have any idea how much they disturb my peace right now, knowing that they're got transgenders reading in libraries? Do you have any idea how that disturbs my peace? Any idea? Do you have any idea how much disturbs my peace to know that they got that they have cross dressers teaching in our schools? Anybody have any idea how much that disturbs my peace? Right?
Imagine how much the disturbance of the peace of God it is.
There's something wrong if some of our peace isn't disturbed, isn't there, Dale? Something wrong with Christians, as Bobby called it, cowardly Christian churches. It's amazing. So ask yourself this and multiply this by thousands and thousands. What do you suppose the people in that pastor's church believe? Well, we know you're not to judge. You're always to obey the police. And you're not to get excited or loud or anything, right? That's got to be the message, I would think. And he preaches behind it. And all Matt was doing is saying, listen, faith without works is dead. I'm glad you're preaching it in there. But it needs to be done out here. And the guy says, well, it starts in here. Oh, okay. Hey, somebody help me wrap it up here. I got a couple more things I want to get to, but I'm gonna
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
We had a good day.
I was wondering what Michelle asked me. Was it raining on those guys in Columbus? Did you get rained on, Jeff? How was it?
No, we didn't get rained on. We had, I think, maybe 20, 25 of us. Had a good crowd. So obviously the homos and the lesbians showed up. Michelle was there. She called. Yeah, Michelle, it was ugly.
Michelle showed up.
It was ugly, and she called the cops on us.
Oh yeah.
For impeding traffic, trespassing. So we had four Columbus cruisers show up. So when the cop got out of the car, I just give him the line about, hey, there's a murder taking place back here. And this cop, he comes straight to me because I had that little microphone on. He said, I'm just here trying to do my job. This murder stuff, blah, blah, blah. So we had a good chat. He said, can you please turn that off for a minute? I said, yeah. He wanted to have a private conversation, nothing over the PA. So as we're doing this, I had probably a good 10-minute conversation with him. He's a Christian. He homeschools his daughter, but didn't like his daughter seeing these signs. And so he come up with ideas. We could either get some loving pictures of a dad kissing a baby or whatever, but not these graphic signs. I said, buddy, use the signs. And then he said, well, maybe you could go across the street and do it over there and not be here provoking these people. I said, buddy, we're not going across the street.
Wow.
We're staying right here. Then he spent about 10 minutes with Pastor Bill. So we both had about 10 minutes, and the other cop just stood around the whole time waiting. This guy, and he was a decent guy. He was just trying to be the peacemaker. You know what I mean? So then at the end, Michelle starts lipping off to him. He squares off in front of her face, and I'm telling you, I thought he was going to arrest her. She starts in smarting off. What are you going to do, arrest me? I'm thinking, you are stupid. She called the cops on him, and then he told her, he said, now you're provoking them. And that's what I explained to him. We're out there just bringing scripture, passing out tracts, trying to make awareness to baby killing. And these people are obnoxious. Now, supposedly, yesterday morning, they were going to go topless. They talked about going topless with us out there in the street. I don't know. But they said it was too cold.
Jared, go to Acts real quick. Acts 12, if you could, real quick. God bless you, Jeff. I wish I'd have been there. That kind of stuff makes my blood boil. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. Did Jared get that up there? Acts 12. Folks, listen. This passive idea of Christianity is not supposed to be combative or confrontive or anything like that. I'm trying to find you there, Jared. There you are. Acts 12. Let's see, Jared. Jared, scroll down to about 10. Let's see what happens there. Well, let's start at verse 5. I got to read this real quick because I got 3 minutes. Oh, no. Boy. Wow, this is, and verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, Peter, they're arresting Peter, Paul, I'm sorry, they put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring forth him forth to the people. It's the only place I think Easter is mentioned in the entire scripture, I think. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. The prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison and smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off of his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird yourself, bind on your sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee. I got to move on forward. And he went out and followed him, and knew not, that it was true what was done by the angel, that he was free. He was out walking around. So when they came past the first time, so these guys come and they find he's not there, right? Here's where I'm heading someplace. 12, 8, keep on going down. And as Peter, verse 14 and 13, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came into the hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gates for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she said, no, he's out there. They said, what? No, they said, it's an angel. So, no, it isn't. Verse 16, but Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them how with the hand to hold their peace, he put his hand up, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he did depart and went to another place. Here's where I'm going. And soon it was day. And there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. Hey, folks, we're supposed to be causing no small stirs. We're supposed to be igniting controversy. That's the birthing ground for the Spirit of God. Stand up for Jesus. God bless you. We'll see you in the morning.